letting FOMO drive your investment decisions or just life decisions in general, especially when it comes to finance. It can be very detrimental in the long term. And I don't want to see anyone doing that. So just stick to your guns, stick to your criteria.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. Every Friday, we get into personal finance topics to bring you what's going on in the market, also share some tips, tricks, strategies to get that money working for you, because as we all know, it's not what you make, but what you keep. We all want to live a certain life, but let's get our money working for us first in order to afford that lifestyle. Let's not blow that hard-earned money we make. Let's put it to work. So that's what we do every Friday, talk about all things personal finance. And today I want to talk about, obviously, going to be real estate related on this one. After all, it is a real estate podcast, specifically what's going on right now. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the world, but when it comes to finance and real estate, the big thing we're seeing right now is rates rising, right? And 6 months ago, you were buying properties with sub-4 and then at sometimes even sub-3% interest rates, which to me, that's pretty much free money. That historically, that is way below average. And especially coupled with inflation, that's free money. And that's another thing recently happened too, is we saw inflation rose yet again to 8.5%. And so it continues to rise. A lot of this has to do with supply chain bottlenecks, oil prices going crazy, stemming from what's going on geopolitically amongst other policies domestically. We're not going to get into that right now, but with oil price rising, it affects everything from how we produce materials and products and goods to how we ship them and get them to everyone's doorstep. It just increases prices across the globe. And then on top of that, like I mentioned, there's still supply chain issues. So it seems like the new way of doing things is build to order. And specifically, we see this in the car industry. If you think back 2 years ago, dealerships had car lots that were filled with cars, right? You'd go in and you could pick what color you wanted, what trim, what options you'd be able to pick. Now it's you go in, you tell them what you want, and then you have to wait if you can get it, right? And I'm seeing it kind of talking to insiders in different industries, specifically in the car industry as well. It seems like the manufacturers are happy with this, with what's going on, because to them, it's more cost effective to build to order, right? They're not just mass producing all these cars and then shipping them all to lots just for them to sit there. Yeah, of course, economies of scale, but they're still probably producing scale-wise enough cars, but they're producing them to order, right? And I think even dealerships are happy with this, right? Because you don't have a lot of inventory sitting on the lot. You're just order as someone walks in the door and says they want it, then you order it and it's built and then eventually shipped. And with everything going on, people are not as complaining as much, at least not as loudly as they could be, because it's taken a long time to get that product. They just know that's where the market is. So what we're seeing because of all this, and with the housing market, we've seen prices go up 20% year over year. In some markets, even more, 30%+, 40%. The Fed knows they need to cool things down. We can't keep operating with inflation climbing and climbing and climbing every month. So they needed to do something. And so what they're doing is raising rates. And they raised the Fed funds rates, which I've gone over this before, which then is the overnight rate, which banks lend each other money. And so then that trickles down. So if it costs more for them to borrow money, then they have to share that cost with the consumer when they go and lend money. And so what we're seeing is, if you follow the 10-year, which is 10-year treasury, which is the one you should all be following, because that is indicative of longer term yields and kind of how the market's doing. So if you look at a chart between the 10-year treasury and the 30-year, you'll see a correlation. They track one another. And they go up and they go down, they're tracking one another. Yeah, the yields are different, as they should be, right? Because you should be paid more for a longer duration bond, because more can happen in a longer period of time, right? There's more risk. And so generally, you'll see a credit spread. So credit spread is just the spread between two different bond products, right? So right now, we're at the 30-year is at about 2.9, as I'm looking on April 15th, and the 10-year is at about 2.8. So there's still a good about 10 basis points, give or take, a spread there. They track one another. And so the 10-year is the one you want to be following. And if you look back to March 1st, if we look at it, I'm pulling it up right now. If we look at that 10-year, back on March 1st, we were at sub 2% on the 10-year, about probably 1.8 around. And now it's maybe even 1.7. We were at about, and now we're at like 2.82. So over 100 basis point increase in a little over a month. And so we're seeing this affect the housing market, right? Because now interest rates, where we were used to buying stuff at 3%, 3.25%, 3.5%, some people could even get sub 3%, it recently hit 5%. So anywhere from 4.8 to 5.1 probably is a good rate to underwrite or expect to get in the current market. And so that's what the Fed's doing. They're increasing rates to hopefully cool down the market. And it's wild times, right? And I was recently looking at an article. And so the reason why this episode has titled, "Is FOMO Real in the Real Estate Market?" is because I believe so to a certain extent right now. And I think with rates rising, it's going to cool that FOMO down. But the Dallas Fed just came out and one of their members said, "Our evidence points to abnormal U.S. housing market behavior for the first time since the boom of the early 2000s. Reason for concern are clear in certain economic indicators. House prices appear increasingly out of step with fundamentals." And then they go on, researchers go on to mention that there could be fear of missing out or home shoppers who think they could be left behind if they don't rush into the market. And I don't think this is just home buyers that the FOMO is happening to. I think it's investors too, especially newer investors. And so this is kind of what I want to hit on, that guys, don't let FOMO control you. If you're newer to the game, or even if you're not that new, but you're scaling your business and you want to grow and you see so-and-so, I'm at 500 units, so-and-so is at 1200 units, you feel like you need to get there. Like, don't just buy units and doors so you can increase your number so then you can go beat your chest, blast all over social media. Like, don't do that. Stick to your fundamentals, stick to your criteria, and don't go around that. Stick to it. Don't let FOMO you make poor decisions. It's not worth it in the long run. Yeah, you might be happy in the short term touting a big door number, right? But in the long term, it could be very detrimental to yourself and if you have investors to them. And that's the last thing you want. And I don't think this is just in the residential market either, because I've been talking obviously to brokers and the commercial space and just the things I'm hearing. Like I always ask, like, who are the players? Who's submitting offers? Like, what type of groups? And I figured, like, you know, you'd get some bigger players, some more institutional players, but a lot of them are syndicators and newer syndicators. And these are the ones that are winning deals, because from my perspective, it seems like it's FOMO. Like, they want to get their first deal, or maybe their second or third. They're making an emotional decision and offering more just to lock up a deal, right? So they can say they have one, so they can get another one, you know, under their belt. Just don't do that. It's not worth it. And I have a good friend who recently got one under contract for a good price, and then rates skyrocketed. It was just bad timing. Unfortunate for this person. They submitted their best and final LOI. Rates hadn't climbed, so they were still getting great quotes on debt. But by the time they were going to sign their PSA, like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, rates had gone up probably 100 basis points. And that, I wouldn't say blew up the deal, but made it super tight and very different. And this individual decided to walk because they have investors. And that obviously wasn't a fun choice for this person to make. Probably hurt that relationship with the brokers, at least in the short term, which obviously is not great in the short term, but the decision was the right one. When you are managing others' money, you have a fiduciary duty, an obligation to be a steward of their money and do what is necessary, even if it's detrimental to yourself and your business. And that's what's most important. So I just want to make sure no one's letting FOMO drive your investment decisions or just life decisions in general, especially when it comes to finance. It can be very detrimental in the long term. And I don't want to see anyone doing that. So just stick to your guns, stick to your criteria, those fundamentals. That's why you underwrite. If you're not going to stick to your fundamentals and your criteria, then why are you even underwriting? Just go make emotional decisions, right? So if you're going to underwrite, then stick to that. It'll be worth it in the long run. Trust me. So I just want to, the main premise of the show, but I just want to kind of also hit what we're seeing and how this could hopefully temper some of this FOMO with the rates rising. I was listening to a former fund manager. He managed $20 billion fund, and this is a fixed income fund, so credit and debt instruments that this fund would manage. And what people are seeing with the bond market right now, so the bond market is a great market to really understand because it's very telling and indicative of how markets are going and the health of them and where it can lead. So right now, a lot of experts are saying the bond markets are actually pricing in for the Fed funds terminal rate at about 3%, which is a lot. Everyone was really saying, I'll probably get to 1.99, right? 1.9%. But after listening, the bond market is pricing it in where the Fed will bring rates to about 2.5% by the end of this year. And then from December 2022 to December 2023, there will be an additional 50 basis points of hike in rates. And if this does come to fruition, it'll be the fastest hike cycle since 1994. And then what the bond market is also pricing in is that in 2024, there will be cuts. And if that's the case, it's very similar to what we experienced in 18 when we did two rate hikes pretty fast and then the market peeled back, right? And then the Fed decided to cut those rates and the market then trudged forward. So I think it'll be very similar to that in 2024. Well, the reason why the Fed is going to be so aggressive now is because of where inflation is at. And once supply chains fix themselves, this whole thing that's going on in Europe ends or corrects itself, that things will be more in line to what they were. I'm not saying they're going to go exactly to what things were, but closer to that, where supply chains are fixed, there's no really geopolitical tensions to the extent they're at now. Hopefully oil prices have receded and be able to pull back rates to effectively induce economic growth, right? And consumption. That's what the bond market is pricing right now. Does that mean it's going to happen? No, but that's where the bond market is pricing it now. It all dependent on how things play out, and that could completely change. And another thing I've mentioned in the past is the yield curve, and the inversion of the yield curve. And for whatever reason, seems like the Fed media, they want to kind of tamper that down and not really say it's indicative of a future recession. And maybe it won't be a recession, but some type of cooling down. Because if you think of it, so when the 2-year inverted on the 10-year, it's pretty much the 2-year obviously grew because of what the Fed's doing with rates. The 10-year did not grow at the same rate because what it's saying, and like I said, the 10-year is very indicative of the 30-year. So if we look at the 30-year, it's staying pretty anchored and it's not making as aggressive swings. And the reason for that is if we look at demographics, the United Nations is predicting that the growth in the US labor force from now until in 30 years out will be a growth rate of 0%. And this is based on birth rates, which are effectively flat to negative. They're saying that the growth rate of our labor force will remain flat. And the only way to increase economic growth and GDP growth, if you're not having a labor market that's expanding, is to expand productivity. But you're still limited to how much you can grow that productivity when your labor force is not growing. So it's essentially saying that that's why the 30 years kind of remaining anchored is because there isn't that huge growth in population and productivity that would lead to larger growth. So that's why we've kind of seen that inversion and why we should really be looking for some type of cooling down. And when is this going to happen? That's the $1 trillion question, right? That's something I don't know. And a lot of experts can't give you a clear indication on that. It just means now is the time, like I was mentioning before, to stick to your guns, stick to your fundamentals, play defense, don't be aggressive, make smart, sound investment decisions that will eventually come out of this and you'll be on the brighter side of things. And now, do I think this is going to like blow up the housing market? No, because this is not like an 08. Yeah, we might see some prices in certain markets flatten out and come back a little bit, but most I don't think will draw back. And you might see some in some rural areas, maybe rural areas in the Northeast, Midwest, where you just don't have that same buying demand, right? But if we look at it in 07, leading up to the 08 crash, 7% of US household disposable income was going towards mortgage debt service. And right now that's at 3.8. So nowhere near that. And on top of that, if we look at fixed rates versus floating rates, right now about 99% of mortgages are fixed rate, which is great. back in 07 to 08, that was not the case. There's a lot more variable floating rate products out there, which crushed people because they all bumped up to that higher rate. And that's when people got crushed. It all just happened at the same time, amongst other things, of course. But I think that's an important thing to note. And then also, if we just look at the number of households that were formed, construction of households, household formation was also down. Household formation is like creating families, right? That was way down, where from like 1997 to 07, it was about 1.5 million per year created. And then it dropped to about 500,000. So that's down. But the bigger thing too is the construction of homes, right? So if we look at, and this is based on starts per million population. And so if we look at the decades, if we look at from the 60s all the way to the 2010s, we're talking, and this again, this is thousands per million's population. So 60, 70, 80, 90, and 2000s, they were all above 40,000 single family starts. And these are thousands per millions again. Even in the 70s, it was above 50,000. And then in the 10s, it was just above 20,000. That's a huge drop. And so that's why there's this crazy offset in supply and demand, where we have a 4 million unit household deficit. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is I just don't think there's going to be a pullback, because there's such a demand for housing. That demand's not going to go away. So yeah, prices are not going to climb. Like, that just can't happen. But I don't think there's going to be a huge pullback in pricing, at least not in the near term, or I would say within 5 years, unless rates drastically go up higher than what the bond market's predicting, then yeah, that could happen. But as of now, I don't see there being a big pullback, but time will tell. All right, everyone, that's the show for today. I hope you got some value out of it. If you get anything out of this episode, just be very defensive and stick to your fundamentals. Don't make emotional decisions when it comes to money and investments. It's not worth it. Who cares if Jimmy's on Instagram saying he's got 1,000 units and you can't say that right now? Well, let's look at Jimmy in 5 years and he's owes someone a lot of money and no longer has 1,000 units. Don't be Jimmy. Make sound decisions and you'll come out ahead, I promise you. All right, everybody. Take care and catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.